All right, good morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Yedalid in Makos. We're behind today. We're daf on daf Yigim. We're going to start the new parak, third parak of Makos, third and final parak of Makos. The main part of Makos, if you will, and it deals with Makos. Malchus is lashes, and it's administered to someone who violates a negative prohibition in the Torah. Anytime somebody violates a negative prohibition in the Torah, seen by two witnesses in doing so, is given a warning by those two witnesses. You know, the Torah says that you're not allowed to whatever the law is in the Torah. So you are going to be subject to Malchus. Malchus, as we go through the parak, we'll learn later on exactly what the process of Malchus is. You're going to be whipped. You're going to be lashed. It's going to be 39 lashes. If the person cannot physically handle 39, so they're going to give him less than 39. They're going to give him some sort of health examination to see how much he can handle. They're going to give it to him. It's got to be divisible by three. Okay, all this we'll talk about later on throughout the parak of Makos. The Mishnah. The first thing the Mishnah is going to take up is who is subject to the punishment of Makos. In other words, as I mentioned, it has to be a negative prohibition, and so the Mishnah is going to give us an idea of who's going to be subject to Makos. Essentially, there are going to be three opinions. We're not going to see all three opinions in the Mishnah, but essentially, there's going to be three opinions. Let's go. I go through the Mishnah now. So a couple of things. First of all, there's going to be a lot of information that I'm going to throw in your direction as we go through the Mishnah. I'll try to be brief on every one of these things, but there's just a lot of information. Also, the Mishnah is not comprehensive. The Mishnah is not going to give us a full listing of all the different times that a person is going to get Makos, because a person gets Makos for any negative prohibition in the Torah. The Mishnah over here is only going to give examples of things which are chidushim, somewhat novel. So perhaps I wouldn't have known that you're going to get Makos, so the Mishnah over here is not a comprehensive list of all the times that you're going to get Makos. As opposed to when we start with Masechta Krisus, where there, the first Mishnah over there discusses all 36 times in the Torah that you're going to get, that a person's going to be Chayv Kares, he gets spiritually cut off. Here, it's not a comprehensive list. Let's begin. Mishnah Daf Yigim Amud Aleph, the beginning of the third parak. Ve'elohin Alokin, these are the people who are subject to Malchus. Habalachos, Habalachos Avi, Habalachos Ima, Habalachos Ishto. A person who has relations with his sister, be it a sister through the father, be it a sister through the mother, what we call here in America a half-sister, al achos ishto, sister of your wife, your wife's sister, al eshes achiv, the wife of your brother, al eshes achi aviv, and the wife of your uncle. Okay? These are examples of times in the Torah where you're going to get Makos. We're going to see from Makos. V'alanida. And the final one mentioned that falls into the category of Gilui Arayos, of illicit relations, is Nida, a woman who is menstruating. So if a man has relations with any one of these people that we just described, so you are subject to Makos, you're going to get lashes. Again, all this comes about only if there are witnesses and there's a warning and there's got to be process. Look at the first Rashi in the Mishnah. First Rashi in the Mishnah writes, Elohein Alokin, Elu Lav Dafka, the town of Ishayir. Rashi writes, these are Lav Dafka, these are all not, these are not it. We're not having a comprehensive list. Tana Vishaya, Rashi writes, the Tana gave us a list but left things out of the Mishnah. The Tana Vishaya, look in Tuva. Because truth of the matter is, there's many times in the Torah that you're going to get Malchus. So fine. So Rashi now will walk us through the Mishnah and explain to us why did the Mishnah select these particular cases. So Rashi says, as far as the first series that we just went through, the sisters and the wife of your brother and the wife of your uncle, why those? So Rashi writes, those are chayvei krisus, because we also know that those are isuri kares, meaning that if a man has relations with a sister, the punishment is kares, he's spiritually cut off. Kares, There's no good English definition, translation of the word kares. The word kares literally means to cut off. You're spiritually disconnected. Exactly what that means, it's kind of tough to put your finger on. Tosus, in the very beginning of Yavamos and Daf Beis and Aleph, has a discussion of what exactly is kares. It may result in a premature death, premature death of your children as well. Okay, it's kares is tough. It's tough to put into words what exactly kares is, but we know it's serious. It's serious stuff. You're spiritually cut off. As I mentioned in the beginning of this morning, there are only 36 Isurim in the Torah where one is going to receive kares. So it's not, kares is like reserved for what is quote unquote a serious avera. Okay, so over here, what's the chiddush over here? Rashi tells us chiddush is very good. I would have thought that since they're isuri kares, I'm going to get spiritually cut off, so I'm not going to get malchus. So the mission is here to teach us. No, you are going to get malchus.
What's the point of that? Why?
Why? Because the Gemara is going to say this, because one is a corporal punishment and the other one is spiritual punishment, and the two don't cross, meaning that they're kept separated. There is one opinion which will be introduced to this morning, the opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak, who is the Tana, who says that no, they're mutually exclusive. If this kares, there's no malchus, and if there's malchus, there's no kares, right? And so
he opposes this mishnah.
Correct.
So when there's karat, there is no betin, there is no.
No, karis is all up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the executioner when it comes to karis, this punishment of karis. Vitana, and then I'm continuing in Rashi. Vitana, aman of grusha lashmin, and aman of grusha chayav alai mishum shtei shemos. Also, aman and grusha, those are two separate isurim, right? Meaning that if you have a woman who's both a divorcee and a widow, obviously from two different men, so that's going to be two separate prohibitions, even though it's one woman. Okay, also, truma that is untithed, we didn't see this yet in the Mishnah, stay tuned, but truma that's untithed, if a person eats, not truma that's untithed, but produce which is untithed, so that's a negative prohibition. So, and you're going to get malchus. And Rashi points out the chiddush there is that that's not explicitly mentioned in the Torah. V'chein hektish lo nifta. Same thing true with hektish, which is unredeemed. V'adi detani hektish tani ma'aser sheni. Behejit detavar malchus didhu mishum mechus v'pidia. Also, ma'aser sheni came along for the ride. V'chein beruban yesh dvar chadash. Rashi says that each one of the things mentioned in the Mishnah has some sort of chiddush, has some sort of novel idea. So these are not the classic malchus. In fact, later on this morning, we'll talk about what is classic malchus. If I wanted to find in the Torah the prototype of what malchus is, so we'll see later in the Gemara what that is, what would be a prototype of Isuri of a lav that has within malchus. Okay, so everything mentioned in our Mishnah is a chiddush. Let's go back to our Mishnah. Let's continue in the Mishnah. We're in the third line in the Mishnah. Aman l'kohen gadol, grusha v'chalutza l'kohen hedja. Okay, a widow. Widow's not allowed to marry kohen gadol. If a Kohen Gadol marries a widow, he's subject to lashes. If a regular Kohen marries a Grusha and a Chalutza, so he's subject to lashes. What's controversial about this part of the Mishnah? Right? I'll tell you what's controversial about this part of the Mishnah. Grusha, we know, the Torah says that a Kohen's not allowed to marry a Grusha. Kohen cannot marry a divorcee, it's a negative prohibition. You know what's controversial? The Chalutza. A woman who went through Chalitza, meaning that she was married to a man, the man died, and her brother-in-law had an opportunity to do the mitzvah of Yibum, decided, I don't want to do the mitzvah of Yibum, not interested, does now what's called chalitza, right, the shoe thing, and now she's a chalutza, she's not allowed to marry a kohen, but only midderabanan, only rabbinically forbidden to marry a kohen. The Torah never tells us that a chalutza is not allowed to marry a Kohen. Torah only says a Grusha is not allowed to marry a Kohen. A Chalutza, she's divorce-like, right? She's very similar to have gotten a divorce, meaning that she was set up with her brother-in-law. Her brother-in-law said no. The no comes in the form of a Chalutza. It's like a divorce. The Chachamim said, okay, Kohen can't marry her.
Isn't she also a widow?
Huh? She's a widow, which only prohibits her to a Kohen Gadol. Doesn't prohibit her to a regular Kohen. right? So rabbinically, she's forbidden to a kohen, and the Mishnah includes it in the list. So that's a problem. So how does Rashi deal with it? So you take a look at Rashi on the side of the Gemara, on the right hand side. Grusha vihi chalutza einu chayav ela mishum grusha she chalutza einu ksuva ela miribui maisina la detanya bekedushin grusha einli ela grusha chalutza minayin tamalama viisha. Okay, so Rashi writes something like it's learned out through psukim, right? It's hard. I read Rashi. Hard to tell you exactly how Rashi feels about a chalutza. I told you that it's only a rabbinic prohibition. From Rashi, you don't get that flavor. You don't get that sense that it's a rabbinic prohibition. Rashi seems to suggest that it's learned out through psukim. Look at Tosfos on the other side of the page. Grusha v'chalutza nechayv ala achas perisha konshus mishum grusha de chalutza ma'isila v'isha grusha mashma lepirusho de bechalutza l'chude ika malkos daraisa. It sounds like from Rashi, right? Tosfos also walked away with the same impression from Rashi. It sounds from Rashi that the chalutza is an issa daraisa. Sounds like if a kohen married a chalutza, he's subject to malchus. That's what you get from Rashi. Now, really, don't fault Rashi, because the truth of the matter is, that's a simple reading of the Mishnah. Mishnah sounds that way as well. Says, Tosos vize'eno. Tosos says, I strongly disagree. Deha amrina beperkasar yuchzin chalutza derabanan. Okay, Vahadala El Tana Vachalutza Agav Grusha Tanya. So and Tosus quotes Tosus cites a Gemara in Kiddushin, the fourth parak of Kiddushin. The Gemara there says explicitly that Chalutza is only a rabbinic prohibition, not a biblical prohibition. What is it doing in our Mishnah? It comes along for the ride. Right? Whenever you have Grusha, Chalutza is right there hand in hand with Grusha. Because it's similar. Right, it's a similar concept. And the reason why the rabbis prohibited chalutza to a kohen is because it's similar to grusha. So you'll find grusha, you'll find chalutza coming along with it. In our Mishnah, it's certainly misleading. Meaning, according to Tosfos, it's misleading in our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah makes it sound like chalutza is an issa daraisa, not an issa derabanan. But Tosfos maintains, no, chalutza is only an issa derabanan. So I guess, I want to move on. But I guess, in short, it seems like there's a machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos whether chalutza is an issa daraisa or an issa derabanan.
Could this okay. be makas mardus?
No, because our Mishnah is not interested in introducing us to the idea of makas mardus. Our Mishnah is giving us basic 101, right. Which are the Yisuri Torah do you get makas for?
But if Tosfos is saying that it's derabanan, it has to be makas mardus.
Yeah, I mean that's Tosus' second answer. Inami makas mardus derabban va'akevan dehigal gam grusha loke ba makas de grusha shida raisa below maki makas mardus derabbanan. Okay, right. Okay, let's move on. Okay, just a short introduction to chalutza. Okay, aman v'grusha chayvan la mishum shneish. I'm sorry. Where am I? Back to the Mishnah. Aman la kohen gadol grusha v'chalutza kohen hedjot. Mamzeres in the sinel Yisrael, a mamzeres. If a man marries a mamzeres, meaning she was a product of an illicit union. Let's say her parents were prohibited to one another through a iser kares. Let's say she's a product of an adulterous affair. Okay, she's a mamzeres. A mamzeres is not allowed to marry a Jew by punishment of malchus. Our Mishnah here is telling us the punishment of malchus. That if a man marries a mamzeres, he's subject to punishment of malchus. By the way, again, just basic information. The marriage is a marriage, meaning that they're married, they're husband and wife. It's just that he's going to receive malchus for having violated the iser of not marrying a mamzeres. And she presumably also get malchus. Yeah, I don't know how frequently now they're going to get malchus from that point forward, right? I don't know.
Not only the man got the
No, the issue of marriage is on both. It's on both.
I'm saying in terms of the.
No, malchus is for men and women. Men and women are both subject to malchus. Yeah.
Can we backtrack again? The coin, the regular coin, cannot marry a divorcee.
Right. Yeah. Cannot. Cannot. It's a law. It's a law in the Torah.
Ordinary
coin cannot marry a divorcee. Okay. Hejo mamzeres in Nesina Yisrael. A mamzeres in Nesina cannot marry a Yisrael. By the way, a nesina is what? Good question. What is a nesina? Rashi writes over here, min ha-givonim hi, o malchus misham los ischatein bam. They're givonim. In Sefer Yoshua, right, the givonim go over to Yoshua, and they dress up, and they look like they're coming from another nation, and they make a pact together with Yoshua, and they say, right, peace treaty, right, us and you. Later, it's turned out that they're givonim. Givonim are one of the seven nations, right? Why Yoshua kept his part of the deal and agreed not to destroy them? It's tough. I don't have good clarity on that, but right, and they're allowed to be part of the Jewish people. However, they're branded what's called Nesinim, based on the pasuk in Yoshua, and they are and they're forever right kosev etzim. They're forever enslaved by the Jewish people, meaning that their fate generationally is that they're going to be slaves to the Jewish people. Okay, those are the Nesinim. Rashi says that the Torah prohibits us from marrying them based on the pasuk of Los Yitzchatim Ba. Bas Yisrael Nesin Olamamzer. Alternatively, we could just simply switch the gender. It's still the same prohibition. If a Jewish woman marries a Mamzer, or if a Jewish woman marries a Nesin, also a negative prohibition. Amana v'grusha chayev alam mishum shnei shemas. Let's say she is an Amana and she's a Grusha. So, right, and she marries a Kohen Gadol. So, chayav alam mishum shnei shemos, that's two isurim, therefore two lavin. So our Kohen Gadol is going to be subject to two sets of lavin, even though it's one woman, but she's an aman and she's a grusha. However, grusha v'chalutza eino chayav elam isham achas bovad. Grusha v'chalutza, she's only subject to one set of lashes if she marries a Kohen. So now, let's put in what we know. Let's plug in what we know. According to Tosfos, that makes perfect sense. Right? That line of the Mishnah is fine. Because according to Tosfos, a chalutza is not an issa d'oraisa. It's only an issa d'rabbanan. So if I have a woman who's both a divorcee and a chalutza, and a Kohen marries her, he's only subject to one set of lashes. So according to Tosfos, good. We're comfortable. According to Rashi, it's tough. It's tough. A right, ain onshin, right. So you'll say that chalutza is a derivative of grusha, and so therefore, even though it's an issa d'oraisa, it's still a subcategory of grusha, and therefore you're only subject to one set of malchus, right? You'll say something like that within Rashi. Okay, back to the Mishnah. If somebody who's tummy and eats karban, or anything with kedusha for that matter, right, truma as well, somebody who's tummy and eats kodesh, haba al hamikdash, tamei, walk into the Beis HaMikdash while in a state of tuma. V'ochel chelev v'dam v'noser upigol. If you eat fats, forbidden fats of an animal, we're not talking about the fatty part of the meat, that's the best part of the meat. We're talking about, there are different types of fats, the hard, more viscous fats that are found around the intestines. When we get to the Gemara in Chulin, we will actually identify in anatomical detail those fats. Those fats are prohibited. That's called chelev. For every animal that shecht in the Beis HaMikdash and brought up as a karban, the fats are burned on top of the mizbeach. Must have made for great fuel. Vidam, blood of an animal. Nosar. Nosar are the parts of the karban that are left over after its time. Every karban has a has an expiration date. For a shlamim, it's 2 days. For a chatas, it's 1 day, day and one night. So every karban has an expiration date. If after the expiration date, the meat that's left over, it's called nosar. If you eat that meat, subject to a lav. It happens to also be subject to an issur kares. Okay. Upigol. Pigol is any karban that's shechted by a kohen, where the kohen utters when he shechts the karban, I'm going to eat the karban chutz mizmano, outside of its allotted time. That's called pigul. That karban obviously becomes disqualified. in addition to the disqualification of that animal, anyone who eats the meat of that animal subject to a lav, a negative prohibition.
The Kohen has to say it publicly,
really? Not publicly, but he has to say it.
Somebody has to verify that he said it, otherwise how
would the Mishnah in Zvachim says, right, pigel sounds like a machshav, it sounds like a thought, but we're not supposed to be mind readers, and in Jewish law, we're not expected to read people's minds. So Rashi over there, we'll see in the first page of Zvachim, Rashi over there writes that it has to be that he has to utter it, otherwise we have no idea.
It's also
karet. Also a karet punishment as well, in addition to being alav. The tameh, also if you eat carbon that becomes tameh, also a negative prohibition, another lav. V'ashochid umala bechutz, shechting or offering a carbon outside of the Beit HaMikdash, also more lavin. And again, the chiddushes are also isuri kares. So the chiddush of our Mishnah is that you're going to get in the lashes. Va'ochel chametz bePesach, eating chametz on Pesach. Va'ochel also malach b'Yom Kippurim, eating or doing malach on Yom Kippur is subject to lashes. Why is our Mishnah talking about Yom Kippur? Why is our Mishnah not talking about Shabbos? Easy answer to that question. Because Shabbos is a capital crime. You don't get lashes for a capital crime. You only get lashes for non-capital crimes. Doing malacha on Yom Kippur is not a capital crime. Shabbos is still higher on the totem pole than Yom Kippur. I know Yom Kippur is one day a year, it's a special day, but still Shabbos is more. Shabbos is, you see that through the level of punishment. Yes?
Very quickly, for Christ being a spiritual excision, does that imply that death is not makaper that? I mean, isn't that worse than something that where you're chayv nizik?
No, capital crime is better, because capital crime, the death of the individual serves as a kapara.
That's what I'm saying. So
right,
is
and
karis
in that respect is worse. Correct. Correct.
Do you have a combination of karet and capital crime?
I don't think they ever overlap.
They never overlap.
I don't think so. Okay. Hamifatim, am I right? Well, right. In other words, by Cerny Surim, let's say it like this. By Cerny Surim, sometimes the Torah says that if you don't do the capital crime, then I'm gonna impose kares. Meaning that...
And it still is one exclude the other.
Yeah, but they are mutually exclusive. Right. Correct. Okay. The ha'ochav also malach b'yom ha'kippurim. V'ha'mefatim is a shemen. V'ha'mefatim is a kataras. Shemen ha'mishcha, we talked about the anointing oil not that long ago. Yeah. Right, the special anointing oil that used to be to inaugurate a Kohen Gadol, to inaugurate a king, to inaugurate the Kelim and the Beis HaMikdash. So that is a special composition. There's a special recipe. Right, and they hide the recipe. Right, Lahavdil, much like Coca-Cola hides the recipe, so they hide the recipe. If you, however, it's not much of a secret. The Torah tells us exactly the compounds of what is used. So if you go ahead and you make and you make it and you make that composition, or hamifatim es hakataris. Same thing is true with kataris. With kataris as well, there's a special blend of spices that are used in order to make the kataris. Right, pita makataris, you say it every day, right?
Twice. Twice. Times.
3 times a day. Okay, so you know the composition of how to make the kataris, right? I mumble it on Shabbos at the end of davening, right, together with the rest of the Ashkenazim, and so I don't have it down as well. So that is, if you do that, if you put together the kataris, so that's also subject to a lav. Obviously, we're talking about people who are not, in other words, for non based on mikdash usage. Obviously, v'asach b'shem namishcha. If you anoint the shem namishcha on yourself, and you're not a kohen gadol, and you're not the king, v'ha'ochel nevela su'chefer shkatzim v'ramasim. If you eat non kosher nevela, animal that wasn't shechted properly, trefa, an animal that has an internal wound that will basically commit the animal to death. Shkatzim v'ramasim, crawling insects, bugs, ants. Achal tevel umaiser rishon shalonit churchumasal umaiser sheni v'hekter shaloniftu. If you eat tevel, tevel is just simply produce that's untithed. Maiser rishon shalonit churchumasal, the 10% that's given to the levy, he has an obligation, a responsibility to take 10% and give that to the kohen. If he fails to do so, his maiser rishon is prohibited to him. by punishment of Malkus. Maaser Sheni or Hekdesh, if you eat it outside of Yerushalayim, let's just talk about the Maaser Sheni. If you eat the Maaser Sheni outside of Yerushalayim, subject to Malkus. Can only be in Yerushalayim. Okay? And all these things are subject to Malkus. Kama Yochem and Tevel V'Yechayev. Now, when it comes to Tevel, how much Tevel do you have to eat in order to be Chayev? Now, by Nevela and Shreifa and all the other non-kosher foods, we know what the magic answer is. It's a Kezayis. It's always a Kezayis. Tevel, Rabbi Shimon Amar Kosher, V'Chacham Amarim Kezayis. So, Rabbi Shimon says a kolshu, the Chachamim say kezayis. Later in the Gemara, we're going to discuss on what basis are they arguing. The Gemara is going to flesh out that debate. Amalam Rabbi Shimon, yatamodim lebochon the mala kolshu shu chayev. So Rabbi Shimon says to the Chachamim, wait a second. You think it's a kezayis? You know you agree with me that if you eat an ant, just one little ant, an ant is much less in volume than a kezayis. Kezayis is the volume of an olive. An ant is a little ant. And you agree with me that you're going to be chayav, that you're going to be subject to malchus for eating one little ant. Amru lo, so the Chachamim say back to Rabbi Shimon, mem neshu kibriyaso. That is a complete entity. So when you have a complete entity, the shear no longer matters. You have what's called the birya. It is an entire entity, and therefore you're subject to malchus. Amalem avchita achas kibriyaso. So Rabbi Shimon says, well, I think that each grain, each kernel, is also a birya. It may be less than a kezayis, but I think that that's a birya as well. Okay, when we go through the Gemara, we'll analyze this as well. Okay, just keep in mind now. So far in the Mishnah, okay, because there's a lot today. So far in the Mishnah, we introduce ourselves to the concept of malchus, to kares, to kezayis, to birya, to and all the various lavim that we discussed in the Mishnah. Okay, the Mishnah, this one little Mishnah has a lot of information contained therein. Chayvei kirsus katani, chayvei misus beisin lo katani. The first thing the Gemara notices is that in the Mishnah, the Mishnah is including chayvei kirsus, having relations with one sister, together with many of the other yisurim mentioned in our Mishnah. That's chayvei kirsus. But you'll notice in our Mishnah, not one chayvei misus beisdin, not one capital crime mentioned in our Mishnah. And that was intentional, says the Gemara. Chayvei misus beisdin lo ketani, masnisa mani Rabbi Akiva hi. Our Mishnah is the authorship of our Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva. Our Mishnah subscribes to Rabbi Akiva's view. Ditanya. I told you there are three opinions. You'll know that our Mishnah is the middle opinion. Our Mishnah belongs to Rabbi Akiva. And now what we're going to do through Breitzos is introduce herself to all three opinions. Echad chayvei kirsus ve'echad chayvei misus beisdin. Yeshno bechlal malchus arba'im divrei Rabbi Yishmael. Opinion number one is the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael. He says that for any negative prohibition in the Torah, I don't care if the punishment is kares. I do not care if the punishment is misus beisdin. The punishment is, there's always going to be malchus. If it's a negative prohibition, there's always going to be malchus. That's the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. We'll get to that. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Chayvei Kirsus, Yesh Tamechlal Malchus, Arbaim. Shemasu Tshuva, Beisdin, Shemala, Mochlin Lahem. Chayvei Misus Beisdin, Ein Bechlal Malchus, Arbaim. Shemasu Tshuva, Ein Beisdin, Shemata, Mochlin Lahem. Rabbi Akiva makes the following argument. Look, when it comes to kares, you can get rid of your kares. By how? By doing tshuva. Mm-hmm. If you're chayv kares, so that means you're spiritually cut off. By you doing tshuva, we'll talk later about exactly how the tshuva is to be done. If you do tshuva, you can erase isurei kares. So that can just leave you with one thing and one thing only. The malchus, the lav that you've done. So therefore, says Rabbi Akiva, there are not two punishments, there's only one punishment. When it comes to chayvei misus beisdin, if you violate a capital crime, you could say sorry. You can have a great Yom Kippur. You still did a capital crime. You're still chayev of the death penalty. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva says, you can't get two punishments. You can't get both a death penalty and malchus. That's two punishments. In the Torah, you're only subject to one punishment and not two. There are many questions to ask over here on this argument to Rabbi Akiva. Please be patient. The Gemara is going to ask a lot of these questions. And
wait a second. Is he saying that the person gets malchut or not? If he does a teshuva.
If he
does a teshuva, the
if he does. Too? No, no. Rabbi Kiva, no. For Rabbi Kiva.
He has a teshuva, the karet goes away. So
right.
That was the punishment. That one.
No, so that's why. Rabbi Kiva says that's why you get malchus, because there's only one punishment. So we're good. What if he didn't do tshuva, right? Right, and now is he going to get both now? So you'll see, the Gemara is going to ask that question.
Rabbi Kiva said the malchus is there.
Right, correct. But just right now, no. Right, the important thing to keep straight is that for Mises Beis Din for capital crimes, so Rabbi Kiva says you don't get malchus. Period. Rabbi Shmuel says you do get malchus. Okay.
Don't we say malchus
well? So again, we'll see a lot of those svaras coming up today. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, and the opinion number three is the opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak over here is a Tana. Just you know, we don't see him that often in Shas, right? He's not a popular Tana. In other words, does not get a lot of airtime in Shas. But over here in Malchus, though, he has a very strong opinion. Before I read him inside, he says that Chai the Krisus, you do not get Malchus. Meaning, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, you're only going to get Malchus for non-capital, non-kares crimes, negative prohibitions. Those are the only ones that you're going to get Malchus for. According to Rabbi Yitzchak, take out all the Chai the Krisus. How does he know that? So now the Gemara is going to explain.
Which one is going to be the one?
Huh? Rabbi Kiva. We follow Rabbi Kiva. Our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Kiva, and Rabbi Kiva usually, when he has a debate against others, we follow like Rabbi Kiva. If it's a one-on-one. V'lama yatzis kares ma'choso ladana b'kares v'laba malchus. And the reason Rabbi Yitzchak says is based on the following. In Parshas Kedoshin, Perichav Pasuk Yitzayin, the pasuk says, "The ish asher yikach es achoso." If a man takes a sister, bas aviv or bas imo, either a sister through his father, or a sister through a mother, veras der vaso, vihisiras der vaso, and they have relations, chesed who? The Torah says that's chesed. You realize that that's strange, but now is not the time to discuss it. Chesed who? V'nichrasu le'ene b'nei amam, and they will be cut off. Okay? And the Torah says you're going to get cut off. Now, why is that strange? Because the Torah at the very end of that parsha says that anyone who does any one of these activities is going to get kares. Here? No, maybe back in. No, it's back in. Sorry, it's back in Acharimos. Sorry. Got it. Ki kol asher. Thank you. Ki kol asher. Yaseh mikol atoyevos ha'ela v'nichrasu anafashos ha'asos mikarav amam. Good. Thank you. And at the end of Parshas Acharimos, the very end, the second last pasuk. So the Torah over there tells us that if a person violates any one of the arayos in the Torah, he's subject to kares. So Rabbi Yitzchak makes a very good point, right? Even though we don't follow Rabbi Yitzchak lahalacha, but let's follow his argument. He makes a very good point. The Torah, when it comes to coming having relations with one sister, goes out of its way to say, you know, for this you get kares, right? I know that it's in the parsha of arayos. Every one of the arayos is subject to the issur of kares. The punishment of kares. So why does the Torah go out of its way to say that if you have relations with your sister, you're going to get kares? It is a very good point. So Rav Yitzchak's conclusion is, I'll tell you what the Torah is telling us. It's kares to the exclusion of malchus. You get kares and you don't get malchus. And then we have a rule, right? Kolha, right? Rashi brings it down. I mean, Rav Yitzchak basically says it, that this is... right. Sorry for the pauses. Call David Shabbat Chlavi Yata. V'yatsa min haklal lamed l'lamed al small yatsa el haklal kulo. Something is, you have one of the details in the halachas, and the Torah goes out of its way to tell something regarding one of the details. It's not only talking about that, it's talking about the entire general rule as well. One of the 13 principles of Rabbi Shmuel. Okay? And we get to use it over here. And I guess the odd part is that we use it, but for Rabbi Yitzchak, and the halacha doesn't follow like Rabbi Yitzchak. Okay. But still, we get to use it. So fine. So this is the opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak. You do not get malchus for Isurei Karis. Okay. Let's go back now. We're going forward in the Gemara, but we're going backwards. My time to Rabbi Shmuel. What is the reason for Rabbi Shmuel? Dichsiv im los Shmuel asos is called divrei Torah zos uksiv hafle Hashem es makos cha. The Torah says that if you do not do es kol divrei Torah zos, any one of the Torah, the hafle Hashem es makos cha, and Hakadosh Baruch Hu will be mafle. Literally translated, it'll be wondrous. It'll be great. It'll be strong. In this case, it's in the negative connotation. Hafla is a reference to Malkus. Uksiv im lo tishmor lasos es kol divrei haTorah zos. And Rabbi Shmuel's argument is that this hafla is connected to the entire Torah, meaning that you're going to get Malkus for a violation of anything in the Torah. So the Gemara now is going to ask the obvious question. So any Isser in the Torah, what about Chai Ve'Yasei? No. The Torah says, if you do not, if you're not Shomer, he Shomer, pen, al, eino el alosa say. When the Torah wants to tell us a law in the Torah, so usually the Torah says the word lo, right? Lo sinaf, lo signov, lo sigzol, lo signavu, lo sichachishu, okay, etc., etc. Usually the Torah uses the word lo. There are three other words in the Torah that the Torah will use to tell us that it's a negative prohibition. And those three other words are hishamer, and pen, and al. Right? These usages of these words, hishamer benega hatzaras. Right? That's one that comes to my mind. Right? Be careful of the nega, meaning that if you have tzaras, don't cut it off your body. That's a negative prohibition if you cut tzaras off your body. Right? The Torah never says the word lo, the Torah says the word hishamer. Okay? So an example in the Torah where the word hishamer is used, and it still means it's a lo sase. So when the Torah says im lo sishmor, so that's the word hishamer, that's talking about a negative prohibition. Ihachi, so the Gemara says, okay, but according to Rav Yishmael, still, it's a lav shein bo maisa nami. What if it's a lav shein bo maisa? You should get malchus for that, shouldn't you? And yet, even Rabbi Shmuel will admit, you don't get malchus for a lav shein bo maisa, a lav where there is no action. Testimony. Giving false testimony. It's a lav shein bo maisa. There's no action. As dibor, but dibor is not a maisa. Speech is not a maisa. Siv, I'm sorry, la asos siv. So the Torah says, if you do not do, so it has to be an action. It has to be the violation of a law through an action.
Except
Edom Zomim. Edom Zomim is exception. Special pasuk. Lav shenitak la'asei nami. So, what about a lav shenitak la'asei? Right? The Torah says you're not allowed to steal. Lo sigzol. And the Torah says, ve'heshif sigzela. That when you steal, you have an opportunity to make up that which you did. How? Heishiv is exile by returning the lost stolen item. This is what's called lav hanitak la'asei. And when I violate a lav, if the Torah gives me a way of rectifying that which I did, so now I have a funny mitzvah opportunity, right? It's a mitzvah that came about through an avera, right? It's mitzvah habab avera, if you will. Okay, it's a strange mitzvah. And so it is a mitzvah.
And the balance is just zero.
Right? It sends you back to zero. So, and for that lav, you do not get malchus. So for stealing, you're not going to get malchus because it's a lav anitak la'asei. Because you can undo the lav with mitzvah haba ba'avera. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, you should get malchus for that, shouldn't you? Meaning, let's go over. It's a lav. There's a maisa. Right? The Torah says, it's called divrei haTorah zos. So you should get malchus. Why, according to Rabbi Shmuel, do you not get malchus for that? Dumya delav dechasima. So the Gemara says, because we have a prototype. Oh, I asked you in the beginning of this morning, give me the prototype lav. The prototype lav is losach samshur bidisho. Why is that the prototype? Because it's found in Parshas Kisevsei. Because right next to that is the Torah telling us you're going to get malchus if you violate it. What is the lav of losach samshur bidisho? When you have your animal, right? Everyone in the backyard, you have your large animal? Okay, no, nobody does. Fine. You have your large animal. The animal is good for a lot of things. One of the things an animal is good for is threshing. Right? Stepping on the grain in order to separate the kernel from its chaff. Okay? And what they used to do is they have an animal, they would tie a board, right? We're going back to the times of the right, to old agricultural days. They would tie a board to the back of an animal, and they would have the animal walk around with this heavy board on the back, and the board would go over the grains and apply a lot of pressure to the grain and separate the kernel from the chaff. And that's the process of threshing. Right? Disho, daish. You are not allowed to muzzle the animal while it works. The Sefer HaChinuch writes, why does the Torah prohibit that? Make such a prohibition? Because it's cruel. It's cruelty to animals, right? The animal over here is hungry while it's working, and you obviously want the kernels all to yourself. But at the same time, though, it's cruel for the animal to have to work around all that grain and not be able to eat any of that grain. Okay, so it's cruel to the animal. Perhaps one of the sources in the Torah of Tzar Balei Chaim that we're not allowed to be cruel to animals. But, okay, reason aside, put the reason aside, because that's Tamei HaMitzvah, okay, and that's in its own category. This is a prototype law in the Torah that you're not allowed to, muzzle an animal while it's working. Losach Sam Shor B'Disha. Where is it in Kisetze? Okay, good. Here we go. Lo siris o pasuk pasuk. Dalet. Oh, chafei. I'm sorry. Here we go. Ki yeshu. No. Chafei dalet. Oh, fine. Here we go. Ki yerib bein anoshim v'nikshu ala mishpat v'shaftim v'tziku v'tzatzai v'yishur sarasha v'ayayim bin hakos sarasha v'yipil ha-shofet v'yikal l'fanav. Right? There's Makos right in the beginning of Perichav Hei. Kidei rishaso b'mispar. Give him the appropriate number of Makos. Okay, we'll talk about that later on. Arbaim yakenev alo Yosef. Give him 40. And 40, of course, is not 40. 40 is 39. We'll talk about that later as well. Right? Lo Yosef pen Yosef l'akoso alayla makar rabah. Don't give him more because you're demeaning him and you're not allowed to demean him. Lo sachsam shor bidisho. There you have it. Don't muzzle an ox while it's threshing. Okay. That's your prototype. Now that we know it's your prototype, let's go back to our Gemara. Now that we've learned that that's the prototype, what is it coming to teach us? The Torah is coming to teach us that it has to be lav sheyesh bo maisa. It's got to be an action, right? Muzzling an animal is an action. It's got to be lav that cannot be rectified. Meaning, once you muzzle the animal, that's it. You can't undo it. Yes, it's true you can unmuzzle the animal after it works, but you were cruel to it. In other words, the act of cruelty was done. You can't undo it. So we know that it's not a lav she nitak laaseh. We know it's a lav she yesh bo maaseh. So that's our prototype lav, and that's why all these categories are excluded from Malkus. Okay? And the Gemara makes this very point. Let's go back to the Gemara. I'm sorry. Good. The Gemara says exactly that. This now becomes a prototype case. And that's why we will not give Malkus for the Lav Shein B'Maisa and the Lav Hanitak Laaseh. Okay, that's all Rabbi Shmuel. Now we turn our attention to Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva, my tamik de rishas mishum rishachas atamechayvo v'itamechayvo mishum shtei rishayas. Okay, Rabbi Kiva says no two you can't give malchus and capital punishment. Why no? Because that's a double punishment. We don't administer two punishments. The Torah says, Risha Achas. You can only punish him once, not twice. You can't put him to death and give him malchus. Fine. Very Rabbi Yishmael, Hani Mila Misa Mammon, or Malchus Mammon. Ava Misa Malchus, Misa Arich Tehi. Rabbi Yishmael fundamentally agrees. Here's the interesting part. Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Kiva really agree. When it comes to Misa Mammon, when it comes to Mammon and Malchus, I agree. One and not two. But Malchus and Misa, it's all one long punishment. It's the Gemara's terminology is Misa Arichta. And it's an extended death. Malchus is part of Misa. When you're giving lashes, that's part of the death sentence.
So, according to Rabbi Yishmael, you would actually give the guy lashes and then he's home.
Right, not correct. Correct, not the other way around. Once he's dead, lashes is right. Yeah.
When do we give him the more severe punishment than we get?
So, according to Rabbi Shmuel, we don't accept this, but according to Rabbi Shmuel, it's not midirab minay. It's the same. Malchus and Misa are the same. Misa is just step one of the death sentence. Okay, Malchus, you're right, thank you. Malchus is step one of the death sentence. Okay. So the Gemara now gets to head of your question. So according to Rabbi Akiva, so his fundamental problem is not, you can't give two death penalties. You can't give two punishments. That's the problem with Rabbi Akiva. And now, according to Rabbi Akiva, how come it is a person can be subject to kares and malchus? How can that work? Okay, there's a lot of fundamental answers to this question. We're from here until Yadaf Yadalid, we're going to go through this very basic question in Rabbi Akiva. How is it that you can get both malchus and kares? So So what do you want to tell me? The argument of, well, he can get rid of his kares by doing tshuva. Okay, but that's not always true. He doesn't always do tshuva. And yet he's going to get malchus, and he's going to get kares. So Amar Rabbi Abba beferish Reb Satara chayvei krisos lamalchus digamar leinei me leinecha. So I call this answer number one. Amar Rabbi Abba. Amar Rabbi Abba is going to be answer number one to this question. The Torah goes out of its way to tell us that chayvei krisos is going to get malchus. Meaning, fundamentally, you're right. In concept, you're right. You shouldn't get both. But the Torah goes out of its way to say you get both, because it's based on a gzer shava. It says la'enei. It says that by malchus. I just read that in the pasuk. Actually, by malchus it says la'enecha. V'nikla achicha la'enecha. It says by isuri kares, by the prohibition of achosa la'enei. So we have a gzer shava linking the two. Maskifla Rabbi Abba bar Mamu achicha v'misus beisim nami nigmaram me'enei me la'enecha. We also have by chayv emisus based on the word einay. Why don't we make a gzer shava? Dunin leinay me leinecha. The ein dunin me einay me leinecha. It's a better gzer shava. The words are more similar between kares and malchus than they are between kares and, I'm sorry, between malchus and misa. So the Gemara says, when you're making a gzera shava, the words don't have to be an identical match, right? My nafkamina v'hatana debe Rav Yishma v'shava kohen v'hakohen zui shiva zuhi bia. I'm not going to go through this right now. Just suffice to know right now that based on a certain psukim in Parshas Mitzora, we know that to make a gzera shava, the words don't have to be identical. It does not have to be a perfect match. In fact, by Mitzora, we make a gzera shava even if the words mean the same thing and they're not the exact same word. The gzera shava over there is made between the words uva vishav, not the same word, and yet we make a gzera shava. V'od ligmor me'inei me'le'inei dehagamor le'inei me'le'inecha. So, and not only that, but just even if you're going to match the words, we have words matching better between malchus and Misa rather than malchus and kares. I'm sorry. So kibbalim in Rabbi Yishmael bered the Rav Yitzchak kidei risha so mishum risha achas tamechav v'tamechav v'mishim shei rishayos. Risha ha-misura la-based in hakas v'medaber. Okay. So answer number two, right? It seems like we didn't. The Gemara did not accept the first answer. Okay. First answer was gzeira shava. Gemara is not so crazy about that. Answer number two. The answer, Rabbi Shmuel, look, when gauging this idea that you're not allowed to give two punishments, it means two corporal punishments. Punishments that Beis Din imposes, makas, mamon, misa, there, it's one of them, not more than one. But if it's a question of karis and makas, or if you can think of a case, karis and mamon, right, or karis and misa, there it's possible there for there to be two, because the karis is not corporal. That's the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's divine punishment, that does not interfere with corporal punishment. B'misa ha-misura le-beis n'akasa medaber. Rava Amar, I guess you want to call this now answer number three. Rava Amar, asur be'la katala, kule ama lo pligi de'en loken, umeis. Ki pligi, when is there a machlokis between Rabbi Shua and Rabbi Kiva? Da'asur be'la malkas. The warning was given, was only given for Malkus. Rabbi Yishmael says, "Alav sheni tel lazaros misas based on lokan alav." And Rabbi Yishmael says, "Look, he was warned that look, don't do that. You're going to get Malkus." Let's say a guy was violating Shabbos. Someone comes over to him and says to him, "You know that it's a negative prohibition. It also happens to be a capital crime." But the person comes over and says, "That's a negative prohibition. The Torah says you're not allowed to violate Shabbos, right?" So according to Rabbi Shmuel, you're going to get Malkus. According to Rabbi Kiva, you're not going to get Malkus. Rabbi Kiva several lav shenitin lazaros misas beisdin ain lokin a lav. If it's a lav that is nitan lazaros misas beisdin, where really the ultimate punishment is really death by the hands of beisdin, so you're never going to get Malkus. Even if you were warned about Malkus, you're not going to get Malkus. According to Rabbi Shmuel, why doesn't he make the same argument by Karis? So you know why? Because by Chayv Krisus there's no requirement of Asra. No warning is required. Sharei Pesach Umilash Anaf Afa Pishalo Hizir. Because when it comes to Pesach Emila, you get a punishment even though you were not warned. The Dilma Zola Karban, the Gemara says, but wait a second. Could very well be that the warning over there is only to establish a Karban. The Pesach Emila Del Esbu Azara, Lo Maisi Karban. So the by Pesach and by Mila, there is no warning in the. There is no warning as a consequence of that. There is no carbon chattis that's brought. If a person violates the, if a person doesn't get a milah, or if a person doesn't bring carbon pesach, there's no chattis, there's no carbon chattis. Hashem lav hainu time elam mishum de itkish kol haTorah kol avodas kochavim ma avodas kochavim sheve al tase av kol sheve al tase lafuke hainu de kamaseh. The Gemara says no. Look, the reason why there's no chattis for milah and carbon pesach is simply because it's not a lav. Nothing to do with or without Asra. Okay, Ravina Amar la'olam kid da'amrina. Now Ravina goes all the way back. He's going to be now for today the final answer. Answer number four. Kid da'amrina mikara. Let's go back to Rabbi Kiva's first argument. Why is it, according to Rabbi Kiva, that you can get both Karis and Malkus? Right? So we went through now, maybe it's Gzeira Shava. Maybe it's because one's corporal punishment and the other is divine punishment. A third possible answer is the only they're only arguing about where you got a warning from Malkus, right? And now Ravina comes along and Ravina says, I'm going to give you a very fundamental answer. Shim asu tshuva based in shomala mochlin lahem. Because karis is erasable. Karis is expungible. You can do tshuva and you're not going to get karis. Now, what bothered us when we proposed this? This is not the first time we proposed this answer. So what bothered us about this answer? What if you didn't do tshuva? The Gemara here reiterates the question. May amart, halo ava tshuva? Well, what do you want to tell me? Well, maybe he doesn't do tshuva. And so now there are two punishments looming. And you can't do that. You can't punish twice. Lo psika milsa lekaris. So the Gemara says, yeah, that may be true. But when it comes to kares, lo psika milsa, meaning that kares is not objective, it's not definitive. Meaning, if I do if I violate a negative prohibition in the Torah, and I was warned, and I listened to the warning, and I did it anyway, malchus is objectively there. It doesn't go away. Nothing I can say from that point forward is going to erase the malchus. Kares is erasable by doing tshuva. So therefore, the punishment of kares will not interfere with malchus. Why? Because principally, since it's a punishment that is erasable, so therefore it does not violate the rule of Mishum Rishachas Mechaiva Vitam Mishum Shtei Rishayos, since kares is erasable. Okay. Let's quickly summarize. Today was just a lot of information. I had a lot of speaking today. Okay, in our Mishnah, we introduced ourselves to the cases in the Torah where you're going to get malchus, right? Our Mishnah gave us Isuri Kares, not Mises Beis Din, right? There are three opinions in terms of when you do and when you do not receive malchus. Rabbi Shmuel says you always receive malchus, regardless of what other punishment comes along with it. Okay, Rabbi Akiva says no. If it's chayv mitzvah beis din, you're not going to receive malchus. If it's isuri kares, you will receive malchus. The third opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak is that for isuri kares, you're also not going to get malchus. Right? Of the three, we take the lahalacha, the second opinion, the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, and then we spent the rest of today discussing how do we resolve this with the basic rule of Mishum Risha Achas Metay Mechaiva V'yeta Mechaiva Shtei Rishayos. We know the rule is you can only get one punishment and not two. So for Rabbi Yishmael, our basic answer was Malchus is part of Misa. Malchus goes hand in hand with Misa. Rabbi Akiva does not subscribe to that rule. Therefore, that's why he says you don't get Malchus and Misa. How come, according to Rabbi Akiva, you get Malchus and Kares? So for that, the Gemara proposed four answers. Answer number one was Gzera Shava, special Ribui HaKra. The Torah says this is an exception. Answer number two, Kares is divine, Malchus is corporal. That's why it's not a violation of the rule. Answer number three, you got warned for the malchus. Answer number four is that kares is erasable. And that's why kares is an exception. It does not violate the rule of Mishum Risha Achas. Okay, good. We're behind, I'm sorry, but we did well today. Tomorrow we'll pick it up.